Good evening, everyone. Okay, tonight, I'm going to be sharing from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And the title of the message is Spiritual Blessings in Christ. So we'll start with reading the text. Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure, his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, and bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do ask that you would come and be with us tonight in this prayer meeting, that you would show us that everything we need, every blessing, every spiritual blessing, everything that we could possibly have or need or ask for is available to us through you. We thank you that you have known us before even you created this world. And you have called us, and you have been good to us and blessed us in so many ways. We ask that our eyes would be open to spiritual truths, to understand how to live in the Spirit and how to walk with you in our daily lives and routines. We pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, in this portion of scripture, it's the first 14 verses of the book of Ephesians. And if you could tell, Paul is moved immensely by something. And Paul is making a statement, and the statement that he makes, it lasted for 12 verses that I just read. And in the original Greek, there was no pause or full stop, because Paul was just expressing a deep expression of adoration. And all the good things that God has done, Paul was praying and speaking, and he was so overwhelmed that he couldn't stop. And Paul couldn't stop praising. He said, blessed be, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word that he uses is a word that can only be used to talk about God. He was speaking when he spoke just now about God's reputation. God has a reputation of being good, of being well spoken of being worthy of adoration. And Paul was adoring God and in awe of him when he spoke those 11 verses. And when he was saying the statement that I just read, that he was so overcome with praise and adoration, where was this? It was kind of like a hymn that he was just stating out of his mouth and praising. Where does this praise come from in Paul's life? Why is he so overwhelmed and moved with gratitude? Paul's praise is coming from a deep place of what he has known that God has done for believers. And some of the words that he uses in this passage, if you could hear them, he uses words like lavish, grace, chosen, good pleasure, and sonship. And he says that we are blessed. And to be blessed, when this passage says that we are blessed, it means that somebody gave us something that was good or beneficial. That God gave us something that was beneficial for our lives. He granted us something good. Spiritual blessings that Paul talks about is what has overwhelmed him with such gratitude. He's so overwhelmed that God would give us these spiritual blessings. And tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual blessings. And in verse 3, he talks about spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms where God is right now. He's talking about God's divine nature. And he's talking about that all authority, of every authority that's ever been, God has been given every authority. Everything on heaven and in heaven and on earth must submit to God, even other powers, other rulers. Everything must submit to God. This is the power that the spiritual power and spiritual blessings that Paul is talking about that's in the spiritual realm. And he says that our spiritual blessings in Christ are a bountiful gift that God has chosen to shower us with spiritual blessings, to shower favor upon us, to shower us with things that are beneficial for us. And this passage says that it has already happened. God has already blessed us with spiritual blessings. So what are these spiritual blessings that I'm talking about that God has already given us, that are available to us, and that we can receive from the heavenly realms? Okay, one of the spiritual blessings that I'm reading about tonight from this passage is that God chose us and he adopted us as his children. In verse 4 and 5, Ephesians chapter 1, 4 and 5, Paul writes, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will." So this verse says that even before the world began, before God created the heavens and the earth, before he created anything, he chose us to be his own. He chose us, he selected us to be his people, and he adopted us. And he adopted us to be his chosen people, the special people that he would be with and put his mark and put his spirit in. And this is a sacred position. It was a sacred position that God would make us become his children. His purpose in choosing us was to give us a sacred place as a child, to experience all the love. For those of you who have children, for those of you who are parents, all the love that comes through a relationship, through a parent and a child, the support that you receive. All of us have parents. The support that, not all of us have parents, but many of us have experienced the love of a parent. But the love that we receive from a parent is support, love, encouragement, trust, to receive things that we could not do for ourselves. Sometimes a parent's love is very sacrificial and loving, and they do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And there are many privileges to being a son or a daughter. God wanted to nurture us, to pour out his love on us. And even in the Roman Empire, when they adopted a child, that child had the same rights and privileges as a biological born child. And the Romans understood when Paul uses this language about adoption. God wanted to pour out his love on us daily. It's something that he thought of, he wanted, even from before he created anything else, from before the world began. The scripture says that it gave him good pleasure. He planned for us to be chosen and adopted as his children, and he made a way to make it happen. The way that he made it happen, the way that he could adopt us as children after he chose us, was in Christ. This is what Paul is so overwhelmed, that all of these blessings came through Christ. So in this passage, Paul states 15 times in 14 verses that every spiritual blessing that we have comes in Christ or through Christ. So first, in Christ, verse 3, God has given us every spiritual blessing, every bit of God's divine nature that is in heaven. We can have his same spirit and comfort and guidance with us right now here on earth. In verse 4, he says, in Christ, that God chose us even before the world was made. God chose us. And he did this because he wanted to. It was his purpose. It was what he wanted from the beginning of time. It wasn't a last minute thought. In verse 5, Paul writes, because of God's love, he had already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. And he did all of this because of love. Why did God want to have a relationship with us? He could have not had a relationship with us. He could have been a God who was in heaven and told people what to do. But God wanted to have a relationship with us. And the way that he did it was planned from the beginning of time, and he did it through his son. So verse 7, Paul writes, in him, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. So all of this we have in Christ. We have redemption and forgiveness. And Christ is actually the in-between between us and God, because God is holy. And I'm going to explain that we couldn't go to him the way we were. So Christ is the mediator by which every blessing comes to us. There is nothing that God has withheld from us. He gave us everything. He even gave us his own son, who was killed in by people who didn't even believe that he was God. He graciously gave life to us. He's given us everything. God poured out his redemption, his grace upon us through redemption. Redemption is another spiritual blessing that this passage talks about. In verse 7 and 8, Paul writes, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding." So redemption is one of the spiritual blessings. What is redemption? Redemption means that you ransom someone. So somebody was in bondage and you went and paid to get them set free. If it was a slave or a captive, somebody had to come up with a price to pay for that person to be set free. And it also means to buy back. So one of the spiritual blessings that Paul is referring to is that through Christ, God bought us back. He paid our ransom not with money, but with his blood. And this is a great spiritual blessing that we have. He bought us back from the sin and bondage that we were in. Because the condition that we were in, we were not in any position to come to God. We would not have searched for him. We would not have looked for him. But he purposely sought us out, went to find us, and did everything to buy us back, including giving the life of his son. So redemption is another spiritual blessing. And forgiveness is another spiritual blessing that Paul talks about in this passage. God poured out his grace lavishly upon us through forgiveness. And it's the same verse, but I'll read it again. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished upon us, with all wisdom and understanding. So Jesus paid the penalty. He became our substitute. Like in the Old Testament, when there was a sin, the person who was guilty would put their hand on the head of the animal while it died. So the person's sin symbolically went on to the animal. Well, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He was the Lamb of God, that was the perfect, unblemished sacrifice that went on the altar of the cross. And it was a substitutionary death. He did it. He became that sacrificial lamb, that perfect animal, so we wouldn't have to die. Before this, we couldn't approach God or go near to him because of the sin in our lives. And God's holiness, because of his character, we could not go and just approach him like we can now. We were in the control of another realm, not the spiritual realm. We weren't interested in God. We were caught in guilt and sin. And the things that we did not draw us to God. But because of Christ and his death and resurrection, we are now made righteous. Before we knew even that we were lost, God came and looked for us. And before we were not righteous, when we became righteous, now God's Holy Spirit can live in us. Because the Holy Spirit, like it says, it's holy. And God couldn't live in us the way we were before. So Paul states the truths about what God did for us. He poured this grace on us from the depths of his love. Salvation is fully God's work. It's not anything that we can do. And grace is uniquely God's to give. No one else can just give this kind of grace. No one else can replace a life for another life. What else God did for us? He chose us, elected us, called us, adopted us, forgave us, redeemed us, and made us his own so we could participate in his divine nature. What, everything that God has to offer in the spiritual realm, he wants to give us. And if we ever doubt what God has for us, if we ever doubt his love, I'd just like to read a few verses that remind us of how many beneficial things God did for us, how much he loved us, who his character is. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is faithful, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love. And this is who our God is. He is a faithful God who's always looking to seek us out, bless us, find us, choose us, and pour out lavishly his grace upon us, which is what he did with Jesus on the cross. Exodus 34:6 said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is who our God is. And I would just like to read a story, to tell you a story really quick, just to explain the love of God and how he came to find us when we didn't have anyone coming to look for us. So there was a story of a 9-year-old child whose mother and father were not able to take care of him. Ever since he was a baby, they put him in a children's home. And he was raised in a children's home in El Salvador, in his hometown where he was raised in Central America. And growing up in a children's home left him with questions, left him with sometimes feeling that he wasn't loved. And during different seasons of his life, not having a parent to talk to when he had problems. And at that age of a young child, they need to be able to talk to a parent, to talk about their problems, to process their emotions, to have the parent listen and absorb their stress. Well, growing up in a children's home, he didn't really have that from a parent's love, which he always wanted. So one summer, he'd always had this dream to see what it was like to live with a family. So at the age of 10, he learned about a summer program where he could go and live with a family for the summer. And the family was in another country. He was really excited at the opportunity to go into the exchange program and signed up. And things went really well. He went to another country, lived with a family, did their daily experience, and he began to fall in love with his family. He began to feel the love of a parent, a mother, and a father. And he began to see the love between them. And also, they shared it with him. He not only observed what it was like to live in a family, but he got to experience. And he treasured this experience in his heart of what he saw. But at the end of the summer, it was time for him to return to his country because he had to start the school year. And deep in his heart, he was very, very sad to say goodbye to the family because he felt that they loved and accepted him for who he was. And he got to experience a deep bonding with this couple and their children. The family also deeply cared for the boy, and they didn't know him for very long, but the relationship they experienced in a short amount of time had a great impact on them. Even though they had their own biological children, they loved him like a son in a short amount of time. And they greatly missed him when he left. So they kept in touch over Skype that year, and they kept the communication open. But the family, you know, they never told him how much they were missing him because they didn't want him to be sad. But one day, the boy received an email from the family who wanted to speak to him, but he didn't know what it was about. So they said, "Can we talk to you?" And he said, "Yes." So what he didn't know was that they secretly applied for adoption, but didn't want to tell him because the chances of it being approved were not guaranteed. Eventually, they received information that they had been granted permission to adopt him. But they had to call and ask his permission. So when they made the call, before they could sign on the paper, he had to give his yes. And the amount of joy that welled up in his eyes and in his life when he found out that he was going to be going to live with a family very soon was just overwhelming. And the thought that someone wanted to make him their son and for him to be part of their lives, it was a great expression of God's love, and his glory was revealed in the relationship between the boy and the family. And he got to become a son, and he got to experience the lavish love of a family. And this is the kind of lavishness that somebody who wants to adopt a child, they have to want it. They have to purposely want to give love to another person, to another child. And this is the kind of love that God wanted to give us. He wanted, from the beginning of time, he wanted to pour out his love on us. He wanted to have the kind of relationship where we could receive sonship. And not only did he want this, he planned it, but he created everything to make it happen. He saved us from our sin, and he gave us an inheritance. And the Bible says that we are made righteous when God looks at us. He doesn't see us anymore. He sees his son, and he sees his son's blood covering over us, covering our sin. And because we have been given this status of son, righteous, chosen, forgiven, the Holy Spirit can come and live in us. And this is a great blessing that we have been given, that 1 John 1:12 tells us that to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And Paul states that all of these spiritual blessings, all of these realities, everything that God has in the heavenlies, it became a reality to us when we heard the gospel and believed. And he gave us what only he could give us, the power to become a child. And this is what is available to each one of us in our relationship with God, to receive his love. All we have to do is believe that he's good, and he's who he says he is. And the Holy Spirit will help us to believe in all his good and precious promises and his spiritual blessings. Let's pray. God, we want to just stop tonight and thank you for everything you did to come and find us, to purchase our redemption, to go to the depths of hell, to come to earth and be tortured and abused so that you could fulfill the covenant that you made to us to save us and to bring salvation into our lives. You went all the way back in eternity. Your word says that you already knew us. You knew our names. You knew everything about us in eternity past. And you came and found us and chose us and saved us and reconciled us to yourself so that now we can have this beautiful relationship, that we can experience the true love of a father. And God, we pray that we would understand the depth of your spiritual blessings, that you want us to live in this world, but you want us to live in your authority, the authority that is in the heavenly realms. We have access to it. There is no one that is greater than you. There's no one that can control us. There's no one that can take things away from us, because you are ultimately in charge of everything. And I pray that you would make that a reality in each one of our lives, that everything you did is because you have all authority and power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And God, we want to come before you tonight and just ask that you would help us to have a revelation of your goodness, of how you've blessed us, of how you've been so faithful in keeping every promise. And as many times as we've failed you, you have never walked away from us. So we just want to ask tonight that you would open our eyes to see all the good things that you have for us in the spiritual blessings you want us to experience. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we praise you. We thank you, dear Lord. We look to you, Lord Father, even in this season. We pray that you will guide us, that you would be with your church, dear God, throughout the nation, throughout the world, dear Lord, even as this pandemic, dear Lord, has changed the way the church ministers. But we trust you, Lord, to lead us and guide us, that you will show us, Lord, what you are doing and enable us, Lord, to keep in step with the work of the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, in such situations, we pray, Lord, that fear will not grip our heart, dear Lord, that we will not be intimidated, Lord, by the things and the powers of this world, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will believe that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, dear Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray for that deliverance, Lord, that fear will not make its way into our hearts, dear Lord. But your perfect love will drive away every form of fear, Lord, every form of intimidation within us, dear Lord. Father, we pray also that we will realize, Lord, that we are no longer slaves to the powers of this world, dear Lord, for you have set us free, dear Lord. We are not bound, Lord, to their powers in any way, dear God, because you will take care of us. You will bless us and you will lead us, dear God. So, Lord, Father, as we interact with the world on a daily basis, in our workplace, in our homes, in our communities, dear Lord, let us understand, Lord, what it means, Lord, to be blessed by you, to live under your grace and your goodness, dear Lord. Let us understand, Lord, Father, as much, Lord, we are fragile and things may seem challenging, dear Lord, but let us learn how to know the place of blessing through prayer and through confessing your word, dear Lord, and putting our faith in your word. We pray, Lord, Father, that as we find our place in you, we will be able to bless others, Lord, as you have blessed us. Dear Lord, make us an instrument of blessing. Let us lead that blessed life, dear Lord. Let us overflow with love, with hope, with joy, Lord Father, and kindness and favor, because we have received such things, Lord, all these things from you, dear God. So, Lord, we pray that you continue to challenge our perspective, continue to open our hearts, Lord, to the greater things, to the mighty blessings, Lord, that we have in you, Lord Father. We want to thank you that we can gather in your presence. We want to thank you for your presence of your Holy Spirit. We continue to lead us throughout this week. Prepare us, Lord, and we also pray again, Lord Father, with joy. We thank you that we can gather this coming Sunday, and we pray that you would bless us, Lord, and you would reveal your glory in a special way, Lord, and that you would speak words of hope and encouragement into our hearts, dear Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.